Okay, wish a mazel tov to Ronnie Adler on the birth of a grandson. The father of the baby was a Talmud of mine many years ago, Baruch Hashem. Wish him a lot of nachats from this grandchild and from all his grandchildren. Last week's parasha, the Torah talks about carbon toida. Chazal tells us that when a person goes to a matzav of sakona, he has to give hoidah. I'm sure many of you remember last year, right around this time, I got sick on Purim. I got COVID on Purim morning. And I was sick for quite some time. Baruch Hashem, not hospitalized, but wasn't good. I don't think I've ever been that sick in my entire life. It was not pretty. I never imagined that I'd be able to give a shir again. I had so no koiches. Forget preparing the shir and putting the marmakayimus together. I thought that was never going to happen. But maybe one day I'll have the energy just to say a shir. Forget prepare a shir. But for a long time, I didn't have much energy. And Baruch Hashem, with the encouragement and the tefillos of everyone here, and I appreciated all those that reached out and checked up on me and davened for me, and Baruch Hashem, we're able to recover, and I want to give hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Hashem, many people got the same illness and did not survive, as we all know. People that were young, and people that were healthy, and people that didn't have other other issues, so we don't take it for granted. I rather gave a shir then, before that, we gave a whole shir, whether or not someone who survives, who gets very sick over COVID, has to bench goyim, or to shayel on the poiskim. Okay, we have to take a listen again to the shir. I just want to give a hoidot HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Baruch Hashem recovering, and even after that, it took time. I'm sure many of you who had it know that even after you got better, you still weren't better. You're very shvach at night, and you'll have very little energy, so Baruch Hashem, a year later, we can look back and, appreciate what we took for granted, what seemed to be an innocent cold or whatever it was, had terrible, terrible effects on many people. And Baruch Hashem, it looks like it's behind us. Obviously, today is a very difficult day for Klal Yisrael, with the passing of Reb Chaim Kanievsky on Friday. I gave a short Divrei Chizuk. It's on the podcast that I have. If I can send it out to anyone who wants to listen. I mentioned then, I am definitely not the person to be master Reb Chaim Kanievsky. I never had the privilege of even meeting him. When I was in yeshiva, we once sent him some letters. I was a bach in yeshiva, we were learning the Lamates Malachas, be'i and lahalacha. So we sent him some questions every once in a while. We sent a question in and we got an answer back. Nothing, no major relationship that I had with Reb Chaim Kanievsky, but obviously he's the embodiment of Torah for the modern day life. Today everyone gives an example of a masmid and an embodiment of someone who knew Kol Torah Kulo. That was Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And obviously it's not by chance that he died on a day where there was a terrible decrease of Limud HaTorah. Shushan Purim is one of the days probably that there's very little learning, because the people in Shushan, meaning the people in Yerushalayim, they're celebrating Purim. And the people that are outside, they're having hangovers. So they're not learning. The yeshivas are all closed. The kailim are all closed. The batei midrashim are all closed. Everything's closed. And it's Friday. And it's Friday. So it was definitely a day where there was very little Limud HaTorah. So it was a day where we lost the embodiment, the person who represents Limud HaTorah. The other nekuda, obviously, that everyone realizes, that he died in the same room where he spent his entire life. And he wasn't like one of those people who used to go around and say shurim and go travel, different places. He stayed in his house, in his little apartment, and he said he learned there all day long. And that's where he died. That was his entire life, was in that room. So to be masmid him is definitely, I'm not the right person. You have to find someone who's can be masked him properly. But I think the one thing that we could take away from his life is the parts, not about his hasmada. Everyone knows Reb Chaim Kanievsky was a big masked. So most of us, I don't know if we can be unmasked like he was. We could try. I definitely think we could try. We should try to learn more. That's not a question. But the point was, he didn't waste time. One of his godlessness, he never wasted time. Every minute was used wisely. If he wasn't just sitting around doing nothing. But there's other nekudas of his life that people don't know so much about that we could take from. One of the things they say about him is he was an unbelievable mechaber of his parents. When his parents were alive, he used to go visit them every single day. Every day he used to go visit his parents. It was completely, completely mavatal his das to his parents. Imam, whatever his father said, his father ran the show over there. And he was already an adult. He was already in his 50s. Whatever his father said was the psak. The grandkids knew that. They interviewed Reb Chaim Kanievsky's son a few years ago. He said, we knew growing up, as our grandfather made all the decisions, not our father, Zaydan. I'm not saying that should be done in our homes today. That gets very tricky. It gets tricky. Yeah, as a grandparent, you think so. It gets tricky, but at least the element of kibbutz is something that we could still grow from. The notion that he was so mechabed his parents, it was very, very makbet to be mechabed his parents. He also, he held himself to be a shatchan of Chaim Kanievsky. He didn't have a phone in his apartment. But he held himself to be a shadchan. He tried his best. That was one of the things he took on himself. He tried his best to be meshadach people. He wanted to bring people together. So he was very involved in being meshadach people. It's well known that that he was a sandik. He has a Kabbalah from the Chazanish, from his uncle, that you never say no to be a sandik. They say sometimes he was a sandik 13 times a day. So he used to joke, it says in the Gemara, we learned it in Rav Loz de Mila, right? Brisas, Yud Gimel Brisas. So he used to say to himself, he did Yud Gimel Brisas today. He said he used to go mamish mikotzel kotz in the country, from one end of the country to the other end of the country, being a sandik all over the place. And he would go to family simchas. But his son says over that his oldest son, Shalom Kanievsky, he said that at his Sheva Brachas, his father told the Mechun, I'm sorry, I can't come to the Sheva Brachas, I have Choyvis. So the Mechun said, you have Choyvis? Maybe I can help you out, I can get you a loan, get you some money. He said, no, I have my daily Choyvis, I have my learning I have to do. I'm behind because of the Chasun, I didn't have a chance to learn all the different blot. So he said, okay, then no one can help me with those Choyvis. So he said, I'm sorry, I can't come to the Sheva Brachas. Try pulling that shtick today with Yom HaChutanim. He told me, not come to the Sheva Brachas. Forget it, you're getting big trouble. So he said, over Avard, he said, he thinks that because those are his Chayvis in life, that's why he didn't have Mamonis Chayvis. Because in his mind, Chayvis meant, I didn't do my daily limit, I didn't do my required amount of learning, that's why he had Chayvis. He said, if you have those Chayvis, you don't have the Mamonis Chayvis. That was his deher. He used to say over that he was makbid, he would not eat the two meals a day without his wife there. He was very makbid. He only ate the meals with his wife. If his wife wasn't there, he wouldn't eat the meals. So I said this over my shul. The guy said, I'm not Yibchaim Kanevsky also. If my wife is not there, what am I supposed to eat? I don't know how to make the food. I'm going to go to the fridge myself and put it in the microwave. I said, oy, lana l'dareinu. Okay, I'm in trouble. I was trying to give a subtle smooth about it on this Shabbos, that, you know, the lesson of the Chumash Hadeshen is that there's no roles. Right, people have this idea, there's roles. There's men roles and women's roles and men's roles, right? It used to be men didn't change diapers. It used to be men didn't do a lot of things. Today, because the way the world has worked, that at least in the firm world, where the women are working sometimes more than the men are, so the men have to change diapers and the men have to cook and the men have to take out the garbage. And I met a woman, she used to live in my apartment building many years ago, a real alto European lady. She told me she would never even think of asking her husband to take out the garbage. Pastished. I would ask, not sure if she's still alive. She was in her 90s 10 years ago. She used to refer to her husband as a third party. When she would talk to me about her husband, she would refer to him in third party. She had real aristocratic respect for her husband. Mamish, a madre, which I never saw before. She would never even think of asking her husband to take out the garbage. Today I tell Talmidim, today it's all hands on deck. Today in the house, you do whatever you got to get done. If you have to change your diaper, you change your diaper. You got to make something, whatever you got to survive. Today it's much more complicated. But Chaim Kanevsky was saying that he had such a respect for his wife. They would only eat together. They wouldn't eat. He wouldn't eat if his wife wasn't there. So it's obviously. No, I don't think he did. I don't think many people. It was a different culture. It was a very different culture. No, today it's a different world. Today it's a different world. I'm not gonna judge the previous generation. It's a different world today. We all know that.
Did you listen online this morning? Or
no, I didn't. I didn't think I was going to gain that much from it. You know, to be masvid of Chaim Kanevsky is they said.
It was mostly Tom. A lot of it was.
Yeah, what are you going to be masvid? It's like when they came to Obliyasha to be masvid. What are you going to be masvid? He learned his whole life. But he did chesed also in a very subtle way. They say over that after his father died, so people came over to him, they wanted to say good Shabbos to him. You know, like in the shul, you always go over to the rabbi, say good Shabbos. So they came over to him, he said, why are you guys coming over to me? Who am I? He said, but we need someone to say good Shabbos to. You know, it used to be your father and then your uncle, so we feel lost. Fine, say good Shabbos to me, it makes you feel better. Then they used to kiss his hand. The Sfaradim are very into kissing his hands. So his father was very makbid. He didn't let them kiss his hand. So Chaim Kanevsky said, what am I going to fight with them about? Makes them happy, makes them feel good, let them kiss my hand. He says, this way they'll leave faster. So if I fight with them about it, every guy I'm going to have all machlokes, is it right, is it not right? This way I can get back to learning faster, let them kiss my hand and get vited. You know, he was, obviously, anyone who's ever been to, you know, the lines that were at his door for different people to speak with were unbelievable. Just recently I had a maisa, a crazy maisa, someone told me that there was a young boy who got hurt recently in an accident, and they weren't sure what was going to be with him. Very touch and go. So they went to Chaim Kanevsky, and Chaim Kanevsky said, I guarantee you he's going to walk. But as a schooler, the family should learn Ketzer HaRegel. Now, Ketzer HaRegel doesn't talk about walking of people. Agav, it talks about walking of animals, if you ever learned Ketzer HaRegel. But Chaim Kanevsky said, as a schooler, everyone should learn Ketzer HaRegel. So the father, when he went to the Bikur Cholim room, right after Chaim Kanevsky told him this, he was looking for a sefer. There was only one sefer in the entire room, Maseches Baba Kama. I thought that was pretty spooky. I don't know about you. That spooked me when I heard the story. So someone told me that Blazer Ginsburg from the Mirror heard the story. He said, oh, if that happened, then Avada, the rest of the Haftach from Chaim is going to come true. I don't know. Yeah, I don't have emunah. If he said it, he said it. But that's just an amazing story. There are numerous stories, and you can watch clips. And I was watching last night with Zilberstein. This is years ago. He came in to ask Rechem Knesset different questions about Yad Lachem. Yad Lachem is a big tier of organization.
They are brothers,
yeah. But he was asking all these different questions. But you got to watch. He asks him a question. These are wacky questions. Mamash off the charts questions. All of a sudden, he's like, bring me a Megillah. Taisus Megillah Davov. Bring me this. Taisus over here. That's how you pass the child. Most of us pass from Shulchan Aruch. No, no. He found a Taisus for this. He found a Rosh over here, all over. I was called Terkul right there. One of the questions, he had to think a little bit. He thought for like, 5 seconds, and then he had the answer. And a fellow in my shul told me that he was learning Yushalmi. Now, art school came out with Yushalmi. But it used to be, if you learned Yushalmi, so there wasn't that much on Yushalmi. So Chaim Knesky wrote a sefer in Yushalmi. So he came across a shtickle in Yushalmi that Chaim Knesky learned, and he thought it was very strange the way Chaim Knesky learned the sugya. But he found the Yaivitz that backs up Chaim Knesky. So he wrote a letter to Chaim Knesky. It was about 10 years ago. He wrote a letter to Chaim Knesky, explained to him where he thinks Chaim Knesky got his mahalach from. He said Chaim Knesky wrote back a letter with 11 words. You know what an 11-word answer Chaim Knesky is like? That's like $1 million. He told me he keeps it in a safety deposit box. He said the best part was the first 2 words were Yofa Kasavt. You wrote good. You know what means to hear from Chaim Knesky? You wrote good. It's a dream. If you watch on YouTube, this is Gevaldi, there's a video of a little Chassidish boy who gets fahed on Mishnayis. And Chaim Knesky asks, this kid, Mamish, knows Mishnayis like we know the back of our hand. And Chaim Knesky was asking him, how many times did it say the word Klaim in Mishnayis? How many times did it say the word this? And the kid, Mamish, rattles it off. It's a short video, 2-minute video. You gotta watch it. I'm more small from the kid, I hate to say it. The kid is kid's maybe 10 years old. He's rattling off like... unbelievable, yeah. Kid was unbelievable. So Chaim Knesky got to say about himself. He said he used to learn with his kids when they were young. He used to learn with all his boys. So someone once asked him, why you bother learning with your son? Now, you think he's going to remember everything you teach him? So Chaim Knesky said, of course he's not going to remember everything. But he's going to remember the concepts. Why is it when we come across a Mishnah, an abstract Mishnah somewhere, we have no idea what to do with it? Because no one ever taught it to us when we were little kids. He said, at least let my children get familiar with these concepts this way. When they get older, they'll be able to put it together. He used to play a game with his kids Friday night because there were not much lights. They didn't use generators based on the Pesach of the Chazanish. He used to play a game with his kids that he used to mention a memory Chazal and he used to tell them where it's brought down. They would throw out a line and he would say which Gemara it is, which Masechta it is, which this. Or he'd play a game and he had a study full of Svarm. Which sefer is where? Chaim Knesky knew exactly where every sefer was on the shelf. That was what they used to play for games and growing up as kids. Okay, so obviously the void of Torah is immense today, and there's a big breach in Limud HaTorah and really Pesach Halacha. I was thinking about this the other. We lost a lot of big rabbanim, Reb Dovid Feinstein, and now who's going to take all the big shilas that we have today? So the next generation is going to have to get more shilas. I'm sure Moshe Weiss is going to have 20 more shilas every single day on his plate because there's no one else to bring them to anymore. These big, hefty, heavy shilas about what to do about inyonim that are mason v'chaim tuluyim bo. So someone's going to have to handle them. So they're going to have to be passed on to the next generation. Someone asked me, who's going to be the next gadol? I said, I'm not a scout. I don't really know who's going to be the next. But I do always tell people, I think a good advice is you find someone who's like 50, 60 now and get into him now. Because in 20 years, he's going to be the next big person. That's what happens, right? 20 years ago, no one knew who Chaim Knesky was. Because 20 years ago, there were other gedolim that were older than him that were around. So it's like the 50, 60-year-olds, you got to chop them now, get in with them, and then in 20 years, you'll have, you'll be at that table because you knew them when they were relatively quiet people. But it's scary, it's sad, obviously the timing of everything with what's going on in Ukraine, and a lot of things are very troubling, but Lamaisa, we're learning Torah, so there's nothing better we can do. There's yeshiva in Lakewood, that he was supposed to have off this Sunday. And he told the Bachram, no, we're not, I'm taking back the vacation day. So they said, why? So we should watch the Levi? He said, no, forget the Levi. Come learn Torah. That's what you should do today.
That's what the
Chaim would want. Yeah, today is the day to learn Torah. You listen. Someone told me to watch the Levi. You can watch the Levi anytime. It's on, everything's recorded today. You can go, unless you plan on going there. I was happy to hear Zilberstein made this point. I hope everyone stays safe at the Levi, because Nebuchadnezzar, we've had stories that Levi is a Shmuel Vazel's Levi, where people mamish tragically get very, very, it's very sad. That would be the worst thing. That wouldn't be anything good. But you can watch the Levi later, there's no question. You can, it will be up. I'm not too sure if that's how much you're going to get from it. I'm not sure if that's going to be how we're going to get that much from him at the Levaya. If you go, you don't go. I'm sure everyone has family that's there. My brother lives there. He's there. At least he tried to get there. I don't know if he made it there exactly from his house, but I'm sure everyone who has family in Eretz Yisrael probably tried to get there today. But I think that the way we're going to really gain from his life is by what we're going to hear afterwards. You know, after Shiva, during Shiva, usually when all the stories come out, you get really into his life. There's a book that someone wrote about a daughter's perspective of Gedolim. I think it's a fantastic book. I forgot the name of it. You know, when we hear about Gedolim, we always hear about their Torah and their Torah. From a girl's perspective, it's very different, right? Most girls don't, you know, that wasn't what their relationship with their father was how much their father learned. And all these Gedolim, they all had the same, they all have very good relationships with their daughters.
Who's the daughter?
I forgot. No, it's a bunch of Gedolim. Oh. I interviewed a bunch of girls, all daughters of different Gedolim. I forgot the name of the book, but it's a whole different outlook. It's a very different, they had a different outlook with their fathers. They say, Chaim Kefi, kids say he was a very warm father. He used to go, you know, play with them and talk to them. He wasn't, you know, what we think, you know, locked himself in the study and never came out. He had a relationship with his children. But the loss is quite significant. Okay, Mr. Shem.
Did you hear about the year of the Bar Torah, how many times Moshe's name was mentioned in the Torah?
No.
It was every month. So the guy said the Moshe name in the Torah a number of times. He says, no, you're off by two less. He says, what are you telling me? I checked in the computer. I did the search. He says, yeah, the computer didn't pick up. He says that the Pasuk says, lo yadash lo b'dvar al Moshe. He says, two places. Zehad d'var shmita shamot kol bal mashe yado. So the computer didn't know that was not Moshe. The miyam l'man habayit l'miyot miseh.
Whenever I have
I have Oitzer HaChachma,
so I could put in a search, and I think Reb Chaim Kirevsky was the Oitzer HaChachma. I could put in searches on my computer will tell me where things are. He didn't do it on his own. You read through his Chumash story, his Sefer Tamei Dekra, he has these Cheshbonos that you could only come up with if you know everything. You know, I have to know everything. He knew everything was on his fingertips. He knew it all. It's a terrible loss for Klal Yisrael. It's a shame. Be a male tzeisha for Klal Yisrael. I'm sure his whole life was devoted to Klal Yisrael. That's all he did. His father told him never take a position. His father told him never become a rebbe, never become Rosh Hashiva. Never. The only time he ever said shir in his life was on the yard side of his father. He gave a shir in Yerushalmi. He never gave a shir. He just learned the whole day long. He just learned. That was his entire purpose of life was just to learn. You know,
he was a lot more accessible than his father too. He made himself. More
he made. He was available more for the people. You know, he didn't have the same responsibilities as others. He used to daven. He granted didn't have a crazy schedule. I was actually impressed to hear this. He used to go to bed around 11 o'clock every night. He davened the seeking every morning, but he went to bed at 11. He didn't stay up till 3-4 in the morning. You know. Yeah, I'd say, but he went. No, not always. Someone.
That patient whose son was a chavrusa with yeah. time
every morning
till
the seeking
every single day, decades.
These people are beyond. To me, the biggest guy is that Chaim Kirevsky had no desires for Olam Hazeh. They offered to build him any house he wanted. He had no desire. It meant nothing to him. You know, for us, we say it doesn't mean anything, but deep down, obviously, we want it, but we fight it. He didn't even have a taiva for these things. To him, Imam only wanted to learn Torah. That's all the thing that gave him chiyus. It's a terrible loss. Okay. Mitzvah Shem, our learning should be a chus for his neshama, and it should be he should be a meilat yoshi for all of Klal Yisrael.
Amen.
Okay, but so we left off over here a few weeks ago. We got to get back into the sugya. I got to apologize. There is no Zoom. You sent it out?
No, I told didn't you. Send Moshe Lehman or contact
the me. The computer is being the microphone is being replaced in the computer. So let's see if that helps. Okay.
Oh, hopefully you're that. Seth,
hopefully that should help. I don't know. I had brought it in on Monday.
You know what? I should have put an email. I forgot.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you fire me and get a new manager?
Not for what I'm paying you. Okay. If they give me a raise, then we could talk. Okay. So we left off last time. 2 weeks ago, we were learning about Dalet Amos. So the Gemara was trying to figure out, let's just remind ourselves a little bit. The Gemara was trying to figure out how could you be chayiv for Gneva and Shabbos at the same time if you drag it out of the guy's house. You drag the Gneva out of the Rishus HaNignav into the Rishus Rabbah. So the Mishnah says, the Braisa says, if you're dragging it out, so then you're potter because of Kim Lebe D'Ramne. What does Kim Lebe D'Ramne mean? It means you're chayiv for Shabbos and therefore you're potter on the Mummies. So the Gemara wants to know, how's that possible? Why? Because if I drag it out of the Rishus HaNignav into Rishus Rabbah, so there's no Mashiach of Rishus Rabbah, which we'll have to get to Bli Nedah, why not? But there's no Mashiach in the Rishus Rabbah. So if I drag it without lifting it, I'm never koinet. So if I'm never koinet, I'm not chayiv for Gneva. I'll be chayif for Shabbos, or I'll be chayif for Gneva. And if I dragged it from his yard into my yard, so I went from one Rishas Yochid to another Rishas Yochid, there's no Shabbos, but there will be Gneva. How do I have both? So Taishus had a very simple kasha. Why can't it be? You have Dalar Amos. There's such a takonas de Rabbana called Dalar Amos. Chazal gave you Dalar Amos. So when I schlep it into my Dalar Amos, right away I become chayif for Shabbos, and I'm koinet al Gneva. Everything works at the same time. It's very simple. So Taishus gave an answer that Chazal didn't give you Dalar Amos by Gneva. We spoke about this a lot a few weeks ago, that Chazal didn't give you Dalar Amos by Gneva. We had different pshatim to why not. But Lamaisa, the answer in Rav Rishonim was that there is no availability of Dalar Amos when it comes to Gneva. So over here, there's a nice shtickle over here about Dalar Amos. He writes like this. This is Reb David Kviat. He says, he wants to know the following shayla. Well, this source number one. He talks about the following shayla. What would happen if a guy schleps Gneva into his Dalar Amos, and at the same time there happens to be a Metziah there? So Metziah, we learned, that has Dalar Amos. So what happens if at the same time I created my Dalar Amos, and my Dalar Amos I have Gneva and I have a Metziah? Will I be kind of one without the other? Will I be kind of both? Will I be kind of neither? Meaning if Chazal gave me Dalar Amos for a Metziah and they didn't give me Dalar Amos for Gneva, what happens when those two things come together? In the Dalar Amos I happen to have a Gneva and a Metziah. So I can have Gneva be kind of Dalar Amos. Well, does that mean that I can't have Metziah also be kind of, or I can split the two? I can have Gneva. I can't have Gneva, but I could have Metziah. That's a shayla.
Is that the shayla or the gemara?
No one talks about the shayla. Okay. He writes, "V'hine eich yihadin." What would be the din im yesh Metziah or Gneva biyachah b'toychah Dalar Amos im yikneh? Because again, Tosfos told us there's no Dalar Amos for Gneva. The gemara told us there is Dalar Amos for a Metziah. What happens if I have in the Dalar Amos at the same time I have a Gneva and a Metziah? How does that work? So he writes like this. He thinks it's Talin and Machoikis Rishonim, a very esoteric Machoikis Rishonim, which we spoke about when we learned Hazirik many years ago. He says, "Ulchayri yez a Talin b'mahakinish Dalar Amos." Poshut. How does Dalar Amos work? Chazal made up a shtick that four Amos around you is your Rishos. Okay, so how does that make you the owner of this object? So he says it's Machoikis Rishonim. This is not his chiddush. This is already a Ktzais. The Ktzais brings out this Machoikis Rishonim to how Dalar Amos works. What are the two possibilities of Dalar Amos works? One way Dalar Amos could work is that Chazal decided that your Dalar Amos is now a Chatzar. It's your Chatzar. Even though it's not your Chatzar, it's Rishas Rabim. But Chazal treated it, they considered it, they valued it as if this boxed out area is like your Chatzar. It's like your backyard. And you're kind of as Chatzar. That's one way to understand it. The other way to understand it is that Chazal gifted you the object. They said, "You see this object that's within your Dalar Amos? We make it yours. Magic. It's yours." They zap it to you and it becomes yours. Not because the area is any mesiachis to you. You don't own the area. The area is Dalar Amos, which is a rabbin. But since Chazal decided to give Kenyan Dalar Amos and make objects belong to people, they magically made that this object now belongs to you. Those are the two. Because it's in your Dalar Amos, because Hefka Bezen Hefka, right? Even though Hefka Bezen Hefka normally means that they take away ownership, not give ownership, but here Hefka Bezen Hefka means that they're going to magically make it yours. Why? Because it's in my Dalar Amos.
What happens if two people are standing next to each other?
That's a whole shayla. What happens when you have two people in the Dalar Amos? Yeah. That the Gemara talks about in Gittin. How does that work?
So, if you have a board of Rishas Rabim to for, I guess, liability, you do also, if, let's say, I don't know, a ring fell inside of my corner then as well.
Pashtus not. I don't think we'd assume. Because over there, you're not really the Bailam with regard to Bailam. They're just Achroi. That doesn't give you necessarily Bailas. So he explains, they were makni the Dalar Amos of Kohen mid the rice mid the chotzer. Mamish is chotzer. Well, chay mehani ze gam kim legem mid the rice the hefker bezin hefker who din the rice. Vim kain kim sheish lo had Dalar Amos lo yimetzia me melo kain gam kain gneva. The efshal lemid lo yimetzia have a chatzer the gneva lo have a chatzer. So he wants to say a chiddush. If the pshar is that Dalar Amos is your chotzer, it can't be my chotzer for one thing and not my chotzer for something else. If this is your chotzer, it's your chotzer. So once Chazal gave this chotzer to you for mitzia, then you're going to have to get a gneva also. Maybe Chazal didn't initially give you Dalar Amos for Gneva, but once they gave you the Dalar Amos for Metziah, this is your backyard. So this is your backyard. It's got to be kind of for everything, even for Gneva. But he writes, Avol imnema the Dalar Amos have a kinyan de Rabbonin. But if you think Dalar Amos is just a kinyan de Rabbonin, shechachomim tiknu sheyiknu bid Dalar Amos, meaning Chazal basically gave you this object, if the pshat is that Chazal looked at each object and said, "This object we give to you," well, this object we don't give to you. So he wants to say that the machloikis we show him to how Dalar Amos works would be this nafkamin. If Dalar Amos is the pshat that Chazal made it your chatzir, so once it's your chatzir for everything. But if the pshat is that Chazal gifted you the object, so they gifted you this, they didn't gift you that. And then he takes it back. Then he says, "No, he wants to say even if you hold like the Ran." that the Pshat and Dal Ramis is that Dal Ramis becomes your chotzer, it still wouldn't make you kind of the gneiv. Why? The Chachomim rak tiknuloi vehiknuloi rak amokim asher monach hamatzir. He wants to say a very big chiddush. He says it's not the Pshat that they made the whole area your chotzer. They made the makam where the chayfetz is your chotzer.
As long as it's within the dal.
Right, right. Within your dal ramis, a makam where there's a munach hametzia, that now becomes your chotzer.
Lying on top of each
other. Right. So the visa, what happens? They're lying on top of each other. Right. It's a good point. He says, "Avigdor v'loy makam shemunach shemagneiv." Avam hametzia te munachas al chayfetz shall agneiv. Right. Im hametzia te munachas al chayfetz shall agneiv. Your case. Then you can also clear. Okay, so that's a different way of looking at it. Maybe the dalamis of chotzer is not the pshat. They just gave you the blanket dalamis. They gave you the mokim with the chavit is munach, and therefore the only with the chavit is munach, and not with the gneva is munach. So this is an interesting shayla that the chayim throw around. Can you have dalamis for one thing and not dalamis for something else? Okay, one last nakuda from dalamis is the kasha from the Dvar Avram, the great Kovner Rav. The Dvar Avram is a very basic kasha. What did Taisus tell us? Taisus told us that the reason why I can't be kinyan gneiva with Dalai Lamas is because Dalai Lamas was rabbinically made up, and the Rabbanan never gave you kinyanim to be chayif gneiva. In fact, the Dvar Avram, what do you do with other kinyanim that are the Rabbanan? I'd say, for example, Mashicha. The whole idea of schlepping something into your Rishus, that's only a kinyan de Rabbanan. And yet, that for sure works for gneiva. There's no question. If a guy schleps a stolen couch from his neighbor's yard into his yard, he's going to be chayif gneiva. What kinyan did he do with Meshicha? Meshicha is only a kinyan de Rabbanan. I thought kinyan de Rabbanan can't make you chayif gneiva. That was the whole point of Taisus.
The rights only for an animal? What do you mean?
Meshicha is not a kinyan de rights at all.
At so, all?
Yeah, it's only a kinyan de Rabbanan.
How you call an animal de rights?
You have to use other forms of kinyan. The Mishnah talks about, right, Kesef A.B., Yishtoris, Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Kedusha discusses what mechanism you can use.
So what's the difference between him and the Sugas David? The Sugas David is saying because it's outside Dindar Abbanan,
no,
they won't allow it?
No, Taisus says that. Taisus told us, Taisus in two places, we had it in, by us in Ksubis, and Taisus Bamasir said, Chazal never gave you Dal Ramas Begnev. Loi Rotsu Chacham Melachis. So we were masber, at least one of two possibilities we had to learn that Taisus, was that Chazal are not in the business of creating Kinyanim that are going to cause people to become Ganov. So Frek the Dvar Avram, so every kinyan de Rabbanan can't be used for a ganav. So he has a kasha. So how does Meshicha work for a ganav? Meshicha is a rabbinic kinyan. Any rabbinic kinyan would not be able to be used to be kind of a ganav.
So who said he does?
So you have gemaras like that. That sound like this kind. So he writes this, number two. He says, V'ktsas nir l'yashiv, the be'emes ganav. So he comes up with a gevaldik chiddush, the Dvar Avram, and lomdus, to mechalik between Meshicha and Dal Rams. Avada ganiv is not really kain anything, which we'll talk more about later today. El unsim, only with regard to unsim, the ukbi rachmana bishu say. Right? We're gonna bring this out from a machalikish rishonim. But the nakuda of a ganiv is he's not the pshat, he doesn't become the owner. When you steal from someone, you don't become the owner. You become achroi for what happens to the object now. But you don't become the owner. That's not a magic trick that you become an owner because you steal something. We don't say that just because you're stronger, now you have in your possession, you become the owner. Ownership is transferred via kinyanim in other ways. So what's the pshat when we talk about kinyanim gneva, chayovis, chiyuve gneva? The pshat is you are responsible for what happens to the gneva. All oinsim fall on you.
You require responsibility.
That's right. All of it becomes responsibility. It doesn't become owners. Right, right. It's not the pshat that now you can be makdishit, and now you can be maknit, and now it's yours. It's not yours. You stole it. So what do you have? You have responsibility. So he explains, it needs to leave the owner's possession. If you do a real kinyan, if you do a kinyan, a procedure, a process that with consent of the owner would be considered a kinyan, that's called it left possession. Then you become a ganav. Says the Dvar Avram, what you need to become for a ganav is you need a hoitzah merishas abaylam. You need it out of his possession. And once it's out of his possession, now you become achroy. How do you measure what does it mean to be out of his possession? So he says the measuring stick is that if this procedure that I did with the nignav, I did with another consenting adult, and that exact procedure would be with his willfulness, that's considered hoitzah merishas. That's the gedder. That's how you measure what's considered taking from one possession to another possession. So he says beautifully, l'chein, b'meshicha v'agav, let's say there's two other kinyanim called meshicha and agav. So agav, if anyone remembers, we talked a lot about way back in Kiddushin, we talked about kinyan agav. What's kinyan agav? person says, I want to sell you property, and I also want to sell you metaltalin. So the Gemara says you have this thing called kinyan agaf. So you buy, you make a ma'isa kinyan on one, you get the other. Some form of a package deal. The Gemara has a whole discussion in Kedushin. Do you have to have it piled on top of it? Or be'inan seburim, or ain't a be'inan seburim? The Gemara says you don't need seburim. Let's, for example, I have a property in New York, and I have metaltalin in L.A. So you make a ma'isa kinyan on the property, you own the metaltalin as well. That's a kinyan called kinyan agaf. Right? We talk about this with selling chometz. We talk about using kinyan agav. Right? Kinyan agav is one of those rabbinic kinyan, but it's a rabbinic kinyan. It doesn't work midaraisa. Now, meshicha. What's with meshicha? Meshicha is a kinyan rabban. He says, "Ein lechalik v'loyim et tekanta de rabban hoysel etzadin ula mechav ula gneva." Shari ein ani tzrichim klal takanim yuchedus gneva. We don't need a new takana to make a ganav a ganav. El makivan should be mecher ma'ase kinyan because they're moitzim meshus abayil me'mel ganav na mechayvela. Says the Dvar Avraham, when you want to know what action did I do to make me a ganif, is if I did this exact same action in a consensual transaction, it would be a mechira, that's enough to make you a ganif. So meshicha, right? How do people sell things? They drag it. So if dragging is a maisa that is normally perceived in the world as a transfer of rishos, when you do that exact same action in a gneva, that makes you into a ganif.
In our case, it won't, because it's being...
But that's a technical problem. Remember, but the way the Dvar Avraham is looking at it, he's saying that when you want to know what kinyan does a ganav have, all you have to ask yourself is this considered? I took it out of the rishos of the nigdam. How do I measure that? The way I measure that is how would this work if I tried to buy it or sell it? But where does Dalai Lama's work in? He says aval Dalai Lama's. Aval b'kinyan Dalai Lama's loy hoyset the konsacham klal b'ikra din lechadish kinyan chodesh a Dalai Lama's iknoloy. There's no new chiddush that Dalai Lamas is a way of transferring objects. El shetakant ma'isirak lahaktes al odem as Dalai Lamas shoymi b'hem v'asu kichaseiro u'memelu hu kain medina kichachotze da'alma. So that's not the way. Kinyan Dalai Lamas is not the pshad, and now they made up this new kinyan called Dalai Lamas. Kinyan Dalai Lamas is Chazal viewed your area now as your chotzer. U'lechem b'zeh shab enam yarmim shalini liklis b'hem dover heter hiknu lo isin Dalai Lamas. Meaning, by Dalai Lamas, the din by Dalai Lamas is, did Chazal give you a new made-up chatzah or not? So I could say Chazal gave it to you for Gneva, they didn't give it to you for Gneva, they gave it to you for Mechira. But by Meshicha, it's not a question, did Chazal give me Meshicha? It's not a question of giving me Meshicha. By Meshicha, Pshara was, did the object leave the Rishos HaBayim? The answer, it did. It's undeniable. Therefore, I don't have a kasha.
It only left it because Chazal was mistaken that such a kinyan.
No, the reason why I left is because such a kinyan is viewed in the eyes of people as leaving.
It's only viewed that way because Chazal did. If Chazal never gave us such thing, right, we wouldn't do that.
100%. But the point is, now that this is the normal way of moving things from one rishos to another rishos, you can't tell me with that begnev it's not considered moving from one rishos to another rishos. Okay. That's the way he's looking at it. He's looking at it that the kinyan of Mashiach is just a way of knowing that I transferred it from one rishos to another rishos.
But if Chazal gave Dalai Lama, why can't Dalai Lama become an acceptable way of people transferring?
Because there is nothing be'etzim about this area that it should be considered my area.
But now that I know Chazal gave it to me, so that now became a way people would.
No, but Chazal only gave you this area when they wanted to. You can't intrinsically say my Dalai Lama is already out of his rishos. What's my Dalai Lama?
They didn't give it to you to be kona on a purchase level if you want to buy something.
No, they did. But because they gave it, they decided when they want to give it and when they don't want to give it, so they decided we're not giving it to you by Gneva. But it's not intrinsically any reason why you can look at it and say, oh yeah, it's in his Dalai Lama, so you should get it. Again, not like the Bala Amor we mentioned last time, where the Bala Amor thought Dalai Lama makes sense min asvara, that it should be your area. So therefore, says the Dvar Avraham, very geshmak. That's the difference. El de beganav nami ilu hayi Dalai Lama kenuyas lo hayi kain al yodam. Meaning, if there be such a thing that Dalai Lama is kainas min asvara, because Dalai Lama, like the Bala Amor says, that Dalai Lama is your possession, then Avada should make no difference between Geneva and Mechira. But says the Dvar Avraham, that's not the Pshat in Dalai Lama. Dalai Lama is not just a blanket statement that it makes sense, it should be yours. It was a gift from Chazal for whatever reason they had. So they decided when they want to give you the gift and when they don't want to give you the gift. Well, Mashiach is not the Pshat. Mashiach is not a gift from Chazal. Mashiach was a logical understanding of transfer of objects. So that logical understanding of transfer of objects makes sense by Geneva as it does by Mechira. A very geshmak of teretz from the Dvar Avraham, how to be mechalik between the two. If you look over here, number 2B, Reb Gedalia Finkel comes up with a very simple answer. How to be mechalik between Meshicha and Gneva. Again, what's the kasha? If whenever there's a rabbinic kinyan, we don't say Gneva, so how do you ever have a ganav b'chayev als Meshicha? So Gedalia Finkel says very posh.
You never quoted him before.
Yeah, he did. I quoted him last week, 2 weeks ago. So he writes, V'hainu d'takonos kinyan Meshicha u'takonos shal ma'isi kinyan. He says, because it's similar to the Dvar Avraham. He said, well, let's go back a second. What could we have answered to this kasha? we could have answered that Dalai Amis is the pshat that what? That Dalai Amis is the pshat that Chazal magically made this object belong to you. So Chazal didn't magically make this object belong to you when it comes to Dalai Amis by Gneva. But if Mashiach is not like that, Mashiach is not a magic trick. Which is really what the Rambam is getting at. Mashiach is not a magic trick. Mashiach is a logical way of transferring violence. So once you have a logical way of transferring violence, that logical way has to be true for no matter what you transfer. So he says differently. He says, right? Mashiach is an act of a kinyan. Thank you. Once this is a maisa kinyan, this act makes things yours, then it makes it yours no matter what you're trying to be kinyan. But Dalaramis is a magic trick. Dalaramis is a shot that whatever's in your Dalaramis becomes yours, magically becomes yours. So then Chazal said, well, no, only this becomes yours, this doesn't become yours. But if Kinyan Mashiach is a Maisa Kinyan, this is a way, it's similar to the Devar Avram. This is a way of acquiring things. This process is a way to transfer ownership, so then you can't split the two. Mashiach, if it would just be a chat that Chazal gave it to you, then they can give it to you only by Mechira and not so by Gneiv. Okay, this was all from last week. I want to move on to this week. Okay, let's move right to the Gemara. The Gemara is struggling to figure out how do you have a case where you have a Megarer v'yotze. So the Gemara says, top number three, Rav Ashi Omar, Kigoyin Shetzirif Yodei Lamata Mishloisha V'Kiblu. Rav Ashi says, I have a very simple answer. The guy is standing at the doorway of the Nignav's house. He brings the object out, and he brings it into his other hand. He drags it from his right hand into his left hand. Without lifting. He never makes a hagbah. He only makes a mashicha. He's standing on the outside. He's on the outside, but and he pulls it out, and he brings it to his other hand. That's the Lashon HaGemara, right? He lowers his hand less than three, v'kibla, and he accepts it. Like Rava said, this is a very, very difficult Gemara. We could probably spend a long time on it. We will not, but I'm just pointing it out. Rav Ashi learns that the case of the Gemara over here was that, what's the problem? The problem is, if he's going to just be Moshechit, there's no Mashiach in the Rishas Rabbim. So the Gemara has to answer that he drags it, but he doesn't do Kinyan Mashiach, that's normal dragging. He drags it into his hand, and now what? So now it's in his hand. So now he has what's called Kinyan Yad. Let's see Rashi. Rav Ashi Omar. What?
His hand is still.
We'll see where his hand is in a second. Rav Ashi Amar Megara V'Yoytz Dikama Potter. The case of Megara V'Yoytz when he's dragging it Potter Le'Olam B'Shus Rabim. He dragged it out into Rishus Rabim. Udukoshal Chayad Kasha Iser Gneva Leka. Right? If it's in the Rishus Rabim, there's no Mashicha B'Shus Rabim. So if there's no Mashicha B'Shus Rabim, there's no Gneva. Kiran Shetzir V'Yoday Hashniya. His second hand Lepachos Mishloisha Somach Lekarka. He lowered his other hand. Not the dragging hand. The other hand was less than three tefachim off the ground. Why does it have to be less than three tefachim off the ground? Because if it's more than three tefachim off the ground, it becomes hagbah. Right? So we have to keep it that it's not hagbah yet. Ubiyode achas girra. He drags it. The nofla toich chaverta. And then it falls into his hand. The yode kanyale. And his hand is kain it. So this is what we'd call kinyan yad. He has kinyan yad. Now there's only one problem. If everyone remembers, we had a Rashi, I don't know how many weeks ago, but Rashi didn't believe in Kinyan Yad. Rashi believed that the only time you kain is something in your hand is if you lift it. And we had a Rashi way back, Rashi said that there's no such thing as it being a Taisha's bombarded Rashi with kashas from a Gemara in Gittin, from Gittin, we spoke about this at length, Pnei Shua had Terutzim, but Rashi seemed to have held that when I had something in my hand, you know why I'm kain it? Only because it's lifted off the ground. If you'd put something in my hand and my hand would be lower than three tefachim, I wouldn't be kain it. Which was a very difficult Rashi, because that means... So if your hand is raised, so you'd have Kinyan Hagbah. You lifted the Yad. So then you wouldn't have, maybe. Maybe you wouldn't have Kinyan Hagbah. I mean, Rashi Shita seemed to have been, at least in the last Amud, there's no such thing as something being in your hand is a reason why it should be yours. If in your hand is just a fancy way of saying I lifted it up, which Taisus had a big kasha on Rashi. How does that make sense? So we tried to be Miyashif. But here Rashi seems to be saying the opposite. Here Rashi seems to be saying that once I dragged it into my hand, Shamalai Nafshi, everything's good to go.
Why can't the hand that's doing the dragging also be in the hand? It's still his hand.
No, the problem is if you're going to just keep dragging it, you're not going to be kain al's mashicha because there's no mashicha in Rishas Rabbim. So Rashi says,
you continue on past the point?
No, so you had to be megarid, you had to transfer, I guess, that kinyan yad didn't work in the Rishas of the Nignav, because I was in the Rishas of Nignav till now. Yeah, so I drag it out.
You had to have a transfer in order.
That's right. I had to get it into my hand out of the Rishas of Nignav. Now, the next part of the Gemara is even more troubling. Why do we need Rava in? Says the Gemara, "Kid Rava like Rava. What's Rava? Who's Rava? Tell my Rava. Yodei shel adam chashuv like arba al arba. Rava is a shita in Shabbos that your hand is considered like a makom dalal al dalal. what does that have to do with anything? Because the Gemara in Shabbos is bothered. How am I chayiv on Shabbos if I make a noch in your hand? I make an akira, I take something out of my house, I walk, and I put it down in your hand. So why am I chayiv on Shabbos? I thought you only chayiv if you put something on a mokum that's dalal al dalad. So Rabbi has a chiddush. Yodei shalodim is considered dalal al dalad. What does that have to do with asugya? We're trying to explain why the guy's chayiv for gneva. Why are you bringing in Rava?
So Rashi. So then, based on that, according to Sukkot's Daven, the Dvar Avram that we were all talking about before, why didn't you say you hear Karnal's Kinyan Yad? In other words, in their form, Mela, that's why it shouldn't make a difference whether it's a Geneva or whether it's a Mitzia.
What's Kinyan Yad?
That was in a Chatzah.
No. But if here you're saying that the Yad is like Dalar Amos, so does it work in reverse also? That the Dalar Amos would work out Yad?
I lost it. One more time.
What are we saying now? That the Yad is considered what?
It's a new teretz in the Gemara. Ravashi has a new teretz that you're being kind with Kenyan Yad.
Right.
Good.
Now, this Yad, how does that work?
I'm not sure. What are the possibilities?
Hagbah. Is it Hagbah?
Can't be Hagbah. It can't be Hagbah.
I thought you just said it's out Staram.
No. Kenyan Yad is a Kenyan to its own. But Rashi learned that Yad works because of Hagbah. That's what Rashi said. Tosfos argued. Tosfos thought Yad works like Chatzah.
But according to Tosfos,
what does Rashi do with that, with Rava? Just the
puzzle. Yeah. This is Gemara's very shver.
Tosfos
bombs, this Tosfos by us, bombs away this Rashi. Right. What's going on over here? Very, very shver Gemara. We could spend a lot of time in it. We will not, please, never. But I'm just mentioning the horror. Yeah, so where are we going? So so you have Yad, good, yeah.
Right, so if it works out, can you, according to Tosfos, it works like a Chatzah, correct?
Yeah, let's say. Yeah.
Okay, so then he's carrying it out skinny chutzah. So what's the issue on Shabbos? So therefore you're carrying it. So going back to what we were saying.
Oh, slow down. We didn't have a Shabbos problem. We had a Kenyan problem. He's chai for Shabbos because he's in Rishus Rabbim. The problem was there's no Mashiach in Rishus Rabbim. The answer is it's not Mashiach. It's Kenyan Yad Rishus Rabbim. Right?
And then what?
And then he's chai for Gneva and he's chai for Shabbos at the same time. And therefore there's Kim Levit Rabbim in it. And the problem the Gemara had was that if you're going to be moishichin into Rosh Hashanah, you're not going to have Chiv Gneva, because there's no Mashiach of Rosh Hashanah. So the answer is, I don't have Mashiach. I have Yad. I have Kinyan Yad.
You need Dalar v'Dalar, because you need a good
Hanocha.
Because
if not, it's a Hanocha. So Parshat
Pshat. You can't teach Akim Leben Rabin.
Good. So Parshat Pshat, you're saying that I need Rava for Shabbos.
Right.
That's not what Rashi says. Let's look at Rashi together. So the Rashi, Kidirova, Damarova, Yodoshon Choshuva, Le'inyan Hanocha Shabbos, Kimokim Arba al Arba. Rava's chiddush is that when it comes to Shabbos, a hand is considered like a makam dalal dalal. Now we know from Shabbos you have to be monach the chayfetz on a makam dalal dalal tfachim. So why my hand is not dalal dalal tfachim? So why if a guy, let's say I was talking, a guy goes from his house, he's oikir chayfetz, he brings his chayfetz and he puts it in his friend's hand. So we say he's over haitza, maybe havara. Why is he over anything? He never was monach the chayfetz on a makam dalal dalal. Comes along Rava, no yodah sholad mechashuv like a dalal dalal. So very nice. That's a Shabbos issue, right? Says Rashi, no. He says, "V'chi hecha de leinyan Shabbos choshev mokim leinyan mikne nami choshev mokim le mikne." Says Rashi, "What of a chiddush? Just like we say that yodah shaladam is choshev dalal adabel legabi Shabbos, so to yodah shaladam is choshev enough to be kinda leinyan geneva."
Even though he didn't pick it up, he didn't nothing.
Right, it was put in his hand. Now the kashan Rashi is:
does he have to lift it or not?
No, he dafka didn't lift it. The kashan Rashi is: I need to bring a raya that yad is kinda. You tell me Yad is koine because of Rav and Masechah Shabbos. Yad is koine because it's the greatest level of kinyan to be in your hand. It's a pella. Rashi's learning that the only reason why Yodeh Shaladam koine over here is Vigneva is because for Shabbos we consider Yodeh like a makam.
Yeah, that's
because
it's lower than Shloshim.
Oh, okay, good. That's what Taisus is going to answer. Good, we'll see in a second. But says Taisus, says Rashi, Ulenye mikne nami choshuv mokim le mikni ki ilu higbiya lamala mishlesha. What do those words mean? Ki'ilu a magbiyat higher than three. So it sounds like Rashi's trying to mutcha with this notion that you need to get it above three. So Rashi's saying, since the chavos was put into my yad, and my yad is choshev kadal al dal, it's mamish like a regular rishus, and it's not typical yad, but it's better than yad. So Taisvis has a kasha, I don't get it. You need to bring me a raya that yodah shaladam is kaina. Yodah shaladam is kaina because yodah shaladam choshev dal al dal lagabi Shabbos. Yodah shaladam is kaina is like because yad is your hand. What's going on over here with Rashi? Poshup Shat, you learned the Gemara, not like Rashi. Poshup Shat, you learned that the reason why the Gemara brought in Rava was for Shabbos. The Gemara had a problem. If your Hanocha is going to be in a hand, That's not a makom dalal al dalad. To that, the Gemara says, don't worry. We hold like Rava, your hand is a good place to make hanocha for Shabbos. But according to Rashi, I needed that element of Rava not just for Shabbos. I needed to justify you why you chai for Gneva. That's what Rashi says. And the kasha that Tosfos has in Rashi is, why do I need that? The reason why I'm chai for Gneva is because it's in your hand. End of story. Go home. Finished. What's going on over here?
Well, so, we don't have being in your hand as a ginyan.
We do. It says in the Chumash. It says, imotzi biyodei ha-Gneva.
Yeah, but that's somebody else. Another person doing it.
No, that's a ganif. A ganif puts something in his hand, the Gemara says at that point he becomes a ganif. Or by get, v'nasam biyada. Those are the two places where the Torah uses the word hand, and that's how we know hand is a kinyan. So what do you mean? I need a raya that hand is a kinyan. Very strange. It's a very strange thing. So Tosfos has his kasha. That's the Pnei Yeshua's Teretz, right? That was Pnei Yeshua's Teretz. Why Gnev is not a raya to Yodin.
I understand why Yad is trying to understand why it's a kinyan.
We're trying to prove that it's a kinyan. Rashi's saying, I'll prove to you that Yodah should be koinig neva because Yodah is chayif for Shabbos. Why do I need that? That's the kasha that Tosfos has. So Tosfos has a whole different halach, and we're just going to say, we'll just leave it as a shver Rashi, so we can move weiter in the world of Shas. But it needs hesber. It's not a pasha to Rashi over here, how to make heads or tails. Let's go to the next teretz of the Gemara. Number three, back to the Gemara. We're trying to cover as much ground as we could.
Well,
says the
Gemara.
Right. Biyoda is the most logical way to transfer. Yeah, agreed. That's what we had from Rashi last time we came across it. So let's see the next teretz of the Gemara. If Acha Masni Hocha, the Gemara says, Rev Achi Masni Hocha, Revina Masni Lo Oilom the Afke the Rishus Rabbim. Revina says, I don't know what you guys are all so stressed about. You guys are all bending over backwards to figure out a way that you can have a kinyan in the Rishus Rabbim. I have a very simple answer. Ubishus Rabbim Nami Kana. You know what? Meshicha works with Rishus Rabbim. End of story. You guys are all sweating to figure out how are you going to have a kinyan Meshicha Rishus Rabbim. So you come up with all these creative answers. Sidi Rishus Rabbim, one hand to the other hand. No problem. He drags it. Go home. Meshicha works Rishus Rabbim. End of story. Simple, easy answer. Let's see Rashi number 6. Avacha Masli Lo. Kidamaron de Meshicha Rishus Rabbim Loi Kana. Omoki Moki Shatir Yodav Kibbutzaycha. Avacha had to get himself into a whole pretzel over here. But Ravina said, I have no problems. I sleep easy at night. Why? Because Ravina says, I hold you can be Moshech something in the Rishus Rabbim and you're still going to be Chayef. Says the Gemara, V'travayu b'diyuka doha maslis in kamiflagi. And both of them are arguing in a diyuk from a Mishnah Baba Kam. This machloikis amaroim to whether or not Mashiach is koine b'shus rabbim is totally in a Mishnah in Baba Kama. What's the Mishnah in Baba Kama? The time we got to the Mishnah, ha'yu moishchoi v'yotza. Let's say you're schlepping an animal. Schlepping it out of, Rashi says, you're schlepping it out of over here from us. You're stealing an animal. And while you steal the animal dies. So the question is, at what point do you become achroi? And what part, and you're not achroi. So the Mishnah says, moshcha, if you're dragging it out and it goes, umeis b'shus b'ilim, and it dies while it's still in the rishus of the b'ilim, you're schlepping the animal all the way out of his out of the barn. And it while you're schlepping it, it has a heart attack in the barn, and it dies, so potter. You're potter. However, higbiu oisho itziyim rishus b'ilim, but let's say you lifted the cow, or you actually took it out of the Rishos Bailim, or Mace, then the cow has a heart attack, chayim, and then you chayim.
You lifted the cow where?
You lifted the cow in the Rishos Bailim. Because again, Kinyan Hagbah works for Rishos Bailim. Kinyan Meshicha doesn't work for Rishos Bailim, which we'll have to talk about sometime. It's on the sheet here. That just means we're not going to get to it. But Meshicha only works outside of the Rishos of the Bailim. Hagbah works inside the Rishos Bailim.
So is it because one shows more level of ownership we'll than the other?
We'll see. I found the Gevaldik Avar from the Dvar of Rum. Between the two kinyanim. Hopefully we'll get to it. So now, what does this have to do with us? So the Gemara explains like this. Revino, daik me reisha, revacha, daik me seifa. Each one of the Amaroyim who wanted to bring home their point about Meshicha in Rishus HaRabim, they made different diyukim from this Mishnah. So the Gemara explains. Revino, daik me reisha, Revino made a diyuk from the reisha. Who was Revino? Revino was the one that held that there is Meshicha Rishus HaRabim. Where did Ravina see this Meshicha b'shus Rabbim? Says the Gemara, Ravina d'akim reisha. You have to say Ravina d'akim reisha. Ha'y moishcha v'yotza. What did it say in the Mishnah? You're dragging it and you left. Umeis b'shus b'ilim potter. Time of the reason why you potter is the meis b'shus b'ilim. You know why you potter? Because you were moishcha it and you never crossed the line. You never got it out of the b'shus b'ilim. Ha'y tziyah b'shus b'ilim. Let's say you would have been moishcha it. You never magbi it. You were moishcha it. And where you might see it from the Rishus Bailim, Umeis, and then the Dard Chayef, even though you only Moshech to the Rishus Rabbim. So he said, you see from this Mishnah that you do have Mashiach B'Shus Rabbim. The reason why the Mishnah says Mashiach is not kain over this is because you never actually were Mashiach out of his Rishos. Mashiach B'Shus Nignav V'Shor is not kain. But if you cross the line, then Avadi L'Chayef, I only slept in into Rishus Rabbim. Who cares? Mashiach is kain of B'Shus Rabbim.
This is just curious. Rashi says in Umeis, tells us it's the Shur. Would we've had a Havamir? I think it was
Lakanov. Yeah. I guess Rashi is just trying to... Yeah, when I read the Gemara, I thought it was going to be the Shur also.
If you lifted a cow, wouldn't you?
You know, Rashi did us a favor. Yeah, I agree. So then the Gemara goes back to Rav Acha Daik Misefer. So now Rav Acha has a different deal. What's the Sefer? Higbiu Oyu Shehetziu. It says in the Sefer that if I lifted the cow, or I actually lift, I moved the cow from one Rishos to another Rishos, so I'm Chayiv. So what's his Diyuk? Hoitso Dumi Dahagbo. He wants to say, just like when you lifted it, the Bryce is very vague. It said either you lifted it, or you took it out. So he wants to say that the lifting is similar to the taking out. Why? Ma hagba de osi l'rishus say, just like hagba means you brought into your rishus. So this is the kicker. This is the Gemara telling us how hagba works. Hagba is a form of achnos l'rishusa. Af hoitza nami de osi l'rishusa. So to hoitza must mean that I'm bringing it to my rishus also. Why do I have to bring it to my rishus? Why can I bring it to rishus harabim? Because there's no mashiach rishus harabim. So frayt the Gemara, the revacha kasha resha, the revina kasha seifa. In fact, each one's diok is a kasha and the other one. So the Rishonim speak out very poshut. Forget the Amoraim. Why is it not a steer in the Mishnah? You're telling me that Ravina's kasha is not, Ravina's rai is a kasha, Ravacha's kasha is around Ravina. I got bigger problems. I have a contradiction in the Mishnah, Baba Kama. So they say Avada, it's the same answer, it's the same question. Just that the reason why the Gemara wants to bring it out from the Amoraim, because we were talking about the Amoraim. But Avada, we could have asked for the same price. We have a steer in the Mishnah, Baba Kama. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a kasha. Each one will answer it up. Why? The Gemara says, the Ravacha kasha, Resha, Ravina kasha, Sefer, Resha, Ravacha, Loi kasha. I'll answer very simple. That when it says in the beginning, what was his diuk? His diuk was that it says Moishchoy v'yotza umeis b'shus b'ilim. So you made a diuk that what? That once I get it out of Rishus b'ilim, I'm chayv. He'll say no. That when you slept in the Rishus Rabbim, that's not yet leaving the Rishus b'ilim. Simple. Now what's the other diuk?
It has to go into my
right. And what about the seifa? Says the Gemara, seifa the ravina loikasha hoitzo dumi dahagboli. I mean, who told you to make a diuk that lifting it, just like lifting it means I brought it to my rishos? So when I took it out, I took it into my rishos. Who told you? Maybe lifting it means lifting it, and taking it out means taking it out of his rishos. So there's no rishos.
Out of rishos into rishos harabim, and you walk away from it, still in the rishos.
So it might be halachically considered and still in the rishos haganav, right? Even though it's hard to, in the nignav. So now this is the end of the Gemara. Very good.
Well, why don't you have down?
That was Taisa's kasha. Right? Taisa says, you don't have Dalai Lama Signeva. Right. So let's take a look at a very small, short Taisa that has a lot of impact. What did the Gemara say? We have a machoikis amaroyim, whether or not you have Meshicha, Birushas Arabim, Fegneva. Frek Taisa for Hod Amma Vamechas Asfina. There's a Gemara in Baba Basra. Da Abaye Vorov, Dami Tavari, the Meshicha, Loi Kanye, Birushas Arabim. Frek Taisa, I don't get this whole Gemara. We have a machlokes amaroyim whether or not you have kinyan mishicha b'shus harabim figneva or not, and we had raya from a mishnah and baba kama back and forth. Frak Tosis is a mafurshe gemara and baba basra that you can't be kinyan regular things in rishus harabim. So if you can't be kinyan regular things in rishus harabim, how are you going to have kinyan gneva in rishus harabim? What's the whole shaila? What's the whole deal? So what's the obvious answer? I'm sure many of you are already thinking it. We're comparing apples to oranges over here. The gemara and baba basra is talking about if I want to sell you something, I want to sell you a couch. I say, listen, schlep the couch out of your house, it's all yours. So I schlep it out of your house, I schlep it to the Rishus Rabbim. Okay? And in the middle of the Rishus Rabbim, I'm schlepping it, and all of a sudden it gets hit by something. You know, gets hit by, who knows what. You name it. So I claim, I say, it's not mine yet. I don't own it yet. Not my problem. The guy says, what are you talking about? You were Moshech it. He said, but I was never kain it. So the Gemara says, no, there's no such thing as Mashiach Rishus Rabbim. It doesn't work. You can return it to the owner. Amazing. Return it to the owner. So fact is, if both are buying Rava, no one argues in Baba Basra that you can't be kind of regular objects with Mashiach B'Shus Rabbim. So how could there be a Shita in Gemara that you're kind of Gneva in B'Shus Rabbim? So it doesn't make any sense. So Tosis gives a Gevaldik answer. V'Oimiri, to lay poligad Ravina is actually no machlekes. To hocho dehodekoma dekoni hainalinian leschayv ba'insim. Says Tosis, because we have to understand what does it mean kinyani Gneva. This is something we've been talking about since the beginning of the Sugya. Kinyani Gneva doesn't mean you own the object. Kinyani Gneva means you're responsible for the object. Aval eino koine shia shaloi lekambi. Says Tosis, Avada Mashiach B'Shus Rabbim will not make you the owner. and you will not be koine it with real bailus. So what does it mean in our Gemara? It means you're achroi for what happens to it. Because you were moishich it out of my rishus, you now become achroi for einsim, you now become chai for whatever happens to the object. You're not there.
This is a problem with the Bar of Rav, because he's saying that they work the same way that it's...
So we're going to see how to be mazbert. Good. We'll see how to be mazbert. This is somewhat relevant, right? Here we're saying the same act that done in one situation makes you a complete owner, while I do the exact same act in another situation does not make me the complete owner. It just makes me responsible for what happens. What's the pshat? Now, Taisus brings a Ritzbah, who Taka disagrees. The Ritzbah says, no, the only way to make heads or tails out of this Gemara is for these two Gemaras to argue with each other. You can't answer like the Ri. The Ri draw a distinction between Kinyani Gneva and Kinyani Da'alma. The Ritzbah says you can't draw a distinction. Whatever works for Kinyanim Da'alma is going to work for Gneva. Says Rabbi Chanan, what's the point of Machlekes over here between the Ri and the Ritzbah? So Rabbi Chanan says, Gevaldik, number 8, Dr. Rabbi Chanan. This is a grant of Rabbi Chanan Baba Basra. He writes, Toysis Ksubas Lamar Alf, Kosbashem Ri Lechalik, Beg Neva Lamekach Lenim Mashiach Vashas Rabbim. What's the chiluk that Toysis wanted to make between Gneva and Kinyan? By Gneva, says Toysis, you're not the owner with Mashiach. But by you would be Chayiv and Oinsim. But by real Mechira, you don't become the owner by just transferring it with Mashiach. Why? Says Rabbi Chanan, the Beg Neva Mishchayiv Gam Idea Mashiach Vashas Rabbim, after Bemekach Loi Kanye. The nira hatam, the bemekach tzorich sheyotzi mirushus moiche v'yachnis lirushusoy. Says Rabbi Chanan, Gevaldik Yisayt. The way kinyanim work is transferring, moving from one rishus to another rishus. That's the way you become an owner. That's what mashiach works. That's what it means. When I take it out of your possession, bring it into my possession. Ube mashiach lirushus rabim ikko hoytzor mirushus baylim v'lekach nasa. So when I drag something into rishus rabim, I'm halfway there. I took it out of your rishus, but I haven't yet brought it into my rishus. I'm lacking in that nekuda of achnosas l'rishusoy. Okay. He says, avo beganiv mischayiv b'shvil hoitzo greda av shalehichnas l'rishusoy. Says Rabbi Chanan, but when it comes to Gneva, what does the Torah get you for? The Torah doesn't get you for the fact that you brought it into your rishus. The Torah got it for taking it out of Yanim's rishus. Zok the Torah, when you take it out of someone else's rishus, now you own it.
And it's responsible.
Meaning you're now responsible for it. Why? Because you took it out of his rishus.
You don't own it.
Because you're never going to own it. You're never going to really own something. Because the way Rabbi Chanan is learning, to own something, you need to have two steps. Take it out by you and bring it to me. But by Gneva, the Torah doesn't need that by you. The Torah doesn't require it to become yours. The Torah needs it, and this is the way we masbered last time, the Torah needs it to be that he can't watch his object. So the moment you take it out of his possession, he no longer can watch it. Now you become achrei to watch it. So you did the element of taking it out of his rishus.
That's
why it works even in rishus rabbim. Therefore, says Rabbi Chanan, that's pshat and taisus. No, I'll never be the halachic owner.
Even if he does mashiach.
Right. The only way he can become an owner is if he has yiyush and shin rishus. Yiyush and shin rishus, all the other fancy kinyon. Says Rabbi Chanan, what is the
rishus?
Right, right. He'll be chayv all the kinyonim that come along with being a ganav once he does this.
No, I mean, when he just took it into rishus rabbim, at this point, he's chayiv kefal also.
Right. All the kinyoni gneva start. His kinyon, that's the lash.
That's the way to say it.
Right, but the way Rabbi Chanan wants to get around, he wants to explain that every kinyon needs two parts. But here, I don't need the second part to be mechayiv me in the oinsim, I only need the hoitzah merishos part.
Kinyon oinsim has its own rule.
That's right, that's the pashim shayim deri. Now, so what does the Ritzbah hold? Says Rabbi Chanan, V'ritzbah shom choylik, de'ein ganev mischayiv el b'mashicha ruya l'kinyon. The Ritzbah holds, no, it doesn't work that way. You can only become chayiv gneiv if you did a kinyon that's roi to be kinyon somewhere else. So says Rabbi Chanan, the Ritzbah says no. The Ritzbah is of the opinion, in order to be what we call kinyoni geneva, you have to do a maise kinyon that would work for something else. And since this doesn't work to be kind of the alma, it doesn't work to be kind of over here. That's how Rabbi Chanan learned this taisus. Now here's where the problem gets.
He says you're not chayv ba'insin.
The Ritzbah holds that two gemaras argue with each other.
The Ritzbah says you would not be chayv ba'insin.
According to that gemara in Baba Basra. If you moishich it to rishus rabbim, right? Exactly.
It's just what one is that there are special rules for kinyan.
That's right.
And the other is that there's no.
That's right. Machloek between the reason that it's but is the pshat that there's a new thing called kinyan gneva, different requirements, different limitations, or not? They work the same way. Now here's where things get lebedik. Shver Rambam. We quote this Rambam, I think, like 5 times already. When the Rambam brings down our Gemara. The Rambam brings down our Gemara. He writes, "How you megarav yoytz, megarav yoytz." Zok the Rambam. We'll start with the kasha. Zok the Rambam, he brings down this Gemara, second line in the Rambam number 9. How you make God, there should be, they didn't staple him, sorry. The Rambam writes, he's bringing down our Gemara. Zok the Rambam, how you make God, Rashi Yoitzim, Rishus Bailim. If you're dragging the object from the Rishus Bailim, Shehu Rishus Ayachel, the Rishus Arabim, Va'av the Shomin gets lost, I raise a part of Minatashlumin. She'es Shabbos, Vesigneva, Vesig Bonkech. So the Rambam records our Gemara word for word. There's only one problem. What's the shvah on this Rambam? The Rambam forgot to mention the akimtas that the Gemara makes. The Gemara has two akimtas. Either tzirif yodei lamala, that you schlepped it from one hand to the other hand, or the Rambam is going to hold that you have meshicha b'shas Rambam. The Gemara had two answers to explain this brisa. That the only way this brisa makes sense, the Gemara said, is either you hold like Ravashi, that you schlepped it from one hand to another hand, then you have kinyan yad, or you hold like Ravacha, and Ravacha holds, you have kinyan meshicha b'shas Rambam. Now the Rambam holds, you don't have kinyan meshicha b'shas Rambam. Okay, so that's not an option. So how are we going to learn this Rambam? The only way the Rambam is going to learn the Gemara was, see if you're Atel Matam Gimel. Does he say that?
No.
Doesn't say that. How could the Rambam leave off the two akintas in the Gemara and just give us the facts? He forgot to mention to us that this only works if you tzir v'yotei lamata
magimel. Because we're supposed to know that he doesn't know Mashiach and Mashiach.
Good, so then it has to be tzir v'yotei.
So fine,
but he didn't write that.
So
fractic tzoris number 10. V'divei haRambam stumin. Shekosev haidina demegar v'yotei potev v'loi helvi loi piruka devashi v'loi deravina. He doesn't bring Ravashi's answer of Tzirif Yodai. He doesn't bring Ravina's answer that Mashiach is kind of Mashiach's Rabbim. What's going on? Fact, it says, how can he not bring this down? That's Iktaisa's Kasha. When the Rambam records this Gemara, he forgot to add one or two of answers that the Gemara gave is the only way to explain this Brisa.
That's
right.
Right.
Right. He should have said that was Tzirif Yodai Lamata Megimel. That the case, the way it left one rishus to another rishus, was where he brought it from one hand to the other hand, which is the only case the Gemara can think of that this would actually work. So if the Rambam is going to tell you that this brisa makes sense, lalacha, he has to tell you with that case. Now, what's the other answer? You'll tell me that the Rambam holds like Ravina, that Mashiach is kainah b'shus rabim. Take a look at number 11. Zok the Rambam hilchas mechira. Mesira ain't a kainah ela b'shus rabim v'chatzesh, eh? V'hamashiach ain't a kainah ela b'simto e b'chatzesh shal shneim. Rambam says very clearly, there's no kinyan meshicha b'shas Rabbim. So if the Rambam holds there's no kinyan meshicha b'shas Rabbim, how could the Rambam learn this Gemara? So what's the obvious answer, everyone? The Rambam here is in Hilchas Mechira. Hilchas Mechira is different than Geneva. Like we saw from Taisvis. The Gemara, like the Gemara in Baba Basra. This Rambam is in Hilchas Mechira. But when it comes to Hilchas Mechira, meshicha is not kinyan b'shas Rabbim. But our Rambam is talking about Hilchas Geneva. Maybe the Rambam Taka holds them. When it comes to Hilchas Geneva, you Taka don't need the same level of Kenyan like Rabbi Chanan explained.
And that both ways in the Gemara will work?
No, it will just be Ravina. You just have Ravina's teretz of Mashiach Bishas Rabbim.
Why not? And yeah.
Because he doesn't say that.
He doesn't say anything.
Right, but you can learn. Yeah, but if you hold Mashiach works Bishas Rabbim, so that you can read that into the Rambam. Right? He's very posh. He's Moshiach.
But he says that.
That was by regular Mechira. If the Rambam holds like Taisvis. That is this in Mechira and Geneva, everything's beautiful.
Why can't he learn both ways?
Because he didn't say it.
The Gemara has both ways, he says nothing.
No, because, but see if Yod HaLamad is an Akimta, you have to make that Akimta. If he holds like Ravina, you don't have to make it an Akimta. It's just regular Mashiach, everything is simple. Mashiach, Mashiach, Rabbim, is kind, no problem.
Why not also Yad?
Because the Ram didn't say that.
He didn't say anything.
No, that. But again, if you want him to learn like Ravina, he doesn't have to say anything. Because
yeah,
Ravina holds,
say
Ravina says Mashiach is kind, Mashiach, Rabbim.
Explain it.
Ravina holds Mashiach is kind of Mashiach Rabbim. So according to Ravina, don't need to explain anything. Just do regular Mashiach and everything is good to go.
He's just quoting a Brisa. The Brisa doesn't have
Ravina's not in a Kimta. Okay, but so believe now the next week we'll deal with this a little bit more and in the Yashiv some other things. And then Rabbi said, we're going weiter. We're getting back to Kim Leib and Rabbinine. Back to Chayvei Krisis. We're getting back to the good old Milk Subis.
What are we doing Tuesday?
Tuesday night we're finishing on Mezuzah, Mitzvah.
What rooms don't
really need a Mezuzah?